6:30 and WETA now presents, by recording from New York, Inside Gene Shepherd.
The entire program is a salute to Mrs. Awakens. Would you please bring it up there? Well, there are many straws in the wind, and you just got to keep your old hand out there, and you'll catch a straw or two from time to time. How many times have you ever heard the old canard that the tornado was so fantastic that it blew a straw right through an 8-inch plank? You ever heard those things like that? People believe that stuff. They really do. I've been through probably 15 tornadoes in my time. And I don't know what made me think of tornadoes, but I just thought of canards. You know what is it, a canard? You don't. Well, you look that up. That's your word for tonight. C-A-N-A-R-D. You remember, you know, how many of you remember on the radio, you know, they talk about trivia on the radio. How many of you remember just a couple? It seems like a couple of years ago. Wasn't that long ago? There used to be a show called The Answer Man. You remember that? And they used to have this announcer, and he'd say, Mr. Answer Man, we have a listener from Columbus, Ohio, who writes, is it possible to make bread out of grape seeds? Signed, LG. And now, would you please give us the answer, Mr. Answer Man? Yes, this is The Answer Man. And according to many recipes handed down through the Bulgarian Bread Recipe Company, we find that, have you heard that? Remember Mr. Answer Man? Yeah, he used to answer all these things. Well, I don't know where he is. Nobody wants any answers now. We're living in the age of the smart mouth. Everybody's got answers now. Nobody goes to anybody else for answers. Everybody's got them, you know? You can't stop anybody on the street over the age of 3 who couldn't tell you how to run the government today. What they could do about everything. How they can improve TV, you name it. How they can manage the Mets. How Joe Namath could improve his passing, you know. I mean, that's just the way it goes, you know. It's the world of total talent. Well, all right, okay. So I don't know about canards. I just simply say, though, that there are straws in the wind. Now, I don't know whether you're a straw in the wind collector. I think most people are like squirrels. They live a day-to-day existence and never question life. But then there are us deep thinkers. I mean, like me and Eric Severide. And we're constantly questioning life. I don't think Severide... I've never seen Severide laugh. Can you imagine Severide just rolling around on the floor yelling and hollering after somebody told a dirty story? No way. Well, I nevertheless, my collection of canards says that I do collect straws in the wind. And from the time I was a kid, I couldn't help it. I have a great collection now of straws that I've collected. Pulled them right out of the wind. And yes, I do. In fact, I remember at the age of 5, maybe 10. I mean, you know, I was in the second grade once, and I remember turning to one of the kids in second grade and saying to him, you know, there's something significant in what she just said. It's far more important than what she actually said. It's a significant thing about the way the direction of the civilization we're living is going. And this kid was named Kashmir. And he turned to look and said, what do you say? I said, well, you got to understand what this means. And so at that, he hit me. And I found, never try to explain some of the niceties of life to guys named Kashmir who have crew haircuts. They're liable to show you what life's about. You ever hear of a knuckle sandwich? Well, I mean, you know. So nevertheless, I've been collecting canards and straws in the wind ever since I was a child. And one of my favorite straws in the wind is the Popular Press. Now, you can see what's happening in your world at any given time by what the popular... Now, that doesn't mean the newspapers. No. The Popular Press. The Popular Press is a term which really is basically English. Americans don't know of this term. The term Popular Press refers to a press other than the press. In other words, the New York Times... No, the Post is not part of the Popular Press. However, the National Enquirer is. So the Popular Press is the type of press where the main headline reads, Gene Dixon predicts 1977, exclusive inside. Or there's another headline that says, Shirley MacLaine reveals you can live forever. Details inside. Star reveals her secret for living forever. You've seen that, right? So that's called the Popular Press. And little short, fat ladies with curlers in their hair and heavy shopping bags full of Pringles read that stuff. And that's called the Popular Press. Like Popular Press would be, Cher reveals her own system of birth control. Cher. Not well-known medical expert. But nevertheless, that's the Popular Press. So I have been watching the Popular Press recently, and as an artist, it is my duty now to give you, for those of you who never see it, you have to be very careful because they're always selling out. You know, they have these racks that say, sorry, we've just sold 7,000 more copies of the Ding Dong Weekly. You know, so ask somewhere else. So there are trends. Now, just a few years ago, the Popular Press concerned itself almost... I'll go back even more than a few years ago. Let's say 5 years ago, the Popular Press concerned itself almost exclusively with Jackie Kennedy. Any news item or non-news item about any Kennedy, was revealed as an exclusive scoop. You know? Jacqueline Kennedy reveals... Inside, you know, you'd open up frantically, and you'd read that Jackie Kennedy has just had an appointment with the dentist, and she has revealed that it was successful, which was a great source of satisfaction to Kennedy watchers. Well, now that's all over. I think the Jackie Kennedy followers and the Kennedy freaks, the Jackie Kennedy cuckoos, are now beginning to recede in time, you see. They were supplanted by another crowd. See, the Kennedy crowd, as time goes on, you know. Have you noticed that the Elvis Presley fans now are beginning to be grandmothers? You see? Well, yes, that is true. And Beatle fans now are going to Vic Tanny's to try to get off the extra suet around the waist so they can get into their mod clothing. And so time has a way to do these things. So these things change. See, Jackie Kennedy's all over. Well, then she was followed by a fantastic hang-up in the Popular Press with what they call UFOs. You recall the UFO freakyism that went on for a long time. And a typical headline would be, Uri Geller reveals UFOs exist. He knows three of them, calls one Fred. You know, you'd see this exclusive inside. There was always somebody named Uri Geller that was revealing things. And he was always revealing things about UFOs. Now, that ran tantamount, I shouldn't say tantamount, it ran parallel with the hang-up on ESP. Those two things were very big in the popular press. And they were being interviewed on all kinds of shows. Now, what is the current hang-up right now? Well, the current hang-up now is life after death. That has become very big, I mean, in the popular press. So I don't know what it really means psychologically. I suspect that it means that the popular press fans are getting older. And as they get older, they begin to wonder what the hell's going to happen to them now that they've, you know. So now they're into life after death. You'll see this all the time. Now, for example, there'll be a headline that says, science, they always use the word science. Science reveals there is life after death, and sex is part of it. See, that way they've covered both of them. So you can see them up there in heaven having these fantastic orgies. And, you know, life after death, everything goes on, except that now you don't have to pay the phone bill. That seems to be the only difference between life and death now. Death seems to be none of the bills. Con Ed doesn't keep after you, although that may come out. I could just see, Con Ed, accountant reveals, we'll get you after death. Exclusive inside. New accounting system makes it possible to bill. I'll tell you, if anybody's going to work on a technique to do that, it's going to be the IRS. I mean, they're going to have to do something. I mean, after all, you're occupying 6 feet of ground and 6 feet deep. I mean, somebody's going to have to pay, you know. What the hell is this? How are you getting away with that? I mean, are you a freebie? So, nevertheless, the the life after death thing is very big now. Now, I just thought you ought to know that we've gone through these transitions. Now, there are certain experts, by the way, quote, that are always being referred to in these popular press circles. For example, the universal expert on everything is Gene Dixon. So you name it, Gene Dixon's expert. For example, if they happen to go through a phase like what's going to happen to the Mets, it will be Gene Dixon reveals disaster occurs to Mets infield in future, late October. It will. So she's a universal expert, and there are people who have felt that that the growing. You know, the word superstition doesn't exist anymore. Nobody uses that word. Yes, that's right. They don't use that word. Look it up. It's a very good word. It describes what our civilization is becoming. See, superstition is really almost it's diametrically opposed to what has up to now been considered civilization. In other words, the great difference between the barbarian and the civilized man was that the civilized man had some knowledge of what was happening on Earth, whereas the barbarian was incredibly superstitious about what was happening on Earth. And whenever he beheaded someone, he said it was because an evil devil got into his sword and made him do that. I mean, you see. So you can't take any responsibility for that. I mean, the head flew off just like that, and the devil got into that thing, and look at it, you know. So that's the barbarian. The civilized man would say, what have I done? I've cut someone's head off. The barbarian would say, look at what the evil spirit has made me do. So there's a great difference between, you've never heard it quite put in these terms, but that's a pretty close approximation. So we're getting very superstitious. And now all the pundits are beginning to appear. You see them all over. It used to be, remember the pundits that would be interviewed on Johnny Carson show and on Long John show and all these shows about the flying saucers? That's all over. Oh, well, the old hang-ups die hard. There are still diehards out there. They're probably still Beatle fans. And there are still diehards out there that are probably Russ Colombo fans, if you look hard enough, you know. But they, you know, they're dying out, you know, like the dinosaur. They still hang on to their little thing, and there's guys that clip out little things about UFOs, and they have their little newsletters. But it's certainly not like it was about 10 years ago when, you know, they were really big deals. So These popular press things come and go, but the one that has persisted is life after death. Now, that one keeps coming back. Shades of Bridie Murphy. Bridie Murphy was, if you recall, was a flim-flam, which was believed by many. It was... most flim-flams are. That's why they're flim-flams. I mean, a flim-flam's no good unless a lot of flim-flam fans believe it. So what good is a flim-flam if everybody laughs and walks out? I mean, but the point is that, you know, the whole Bridie Murphy shtick, and incidentally, a little show like this is going to get a ton of mail. What you mean to tell me, a man of your intelligence, do not realize that scientists has proved now that not only life after death exists, but also Jackie Kennedy is an expert on that. And in addition to that, Uri Geller says, oh, come on. So the popular press always has its group of astrologers and sign readers and tea readers, and those are always quoted as experts, very important experts, authentic tea reader. Remember, a few years ago there were witches that were suddenly very big, and they were making statements. Yes, Dame Sybil Leak predicts nuclear war, late 1963. Of course, that fizzled out. So there was always that little undercurrent. See, there. In fact, there was an old statement by a famous educator of the turn of the century. And I don't recall exactly who. Well, I do recall. I'll let you look it up. He said, and I agree with them 100%, that the veneer of civilization over man is thinner than the skin of an onion and can be almost pierced at will by anyone who wishes to do it. Just spring back that onion skin and they're going to start believing in astrologers, they're going to start believing in soothsayers and signs, Are you aware, though, that this is not, you know who began all that stuff? You may be interested to know who was the first great freakola for astrology in the 20s. Yes, Hitler. Hitler had a court astrologer, and he, by the way, advised them to invade Russia. So much for astrology. But that's right, you know. And there are thousands of people, so, you know, people who believe in this kind of stuff. And of course, you can never talk them out of it. No way. And I remember, you know, you grow up with this stuff. If you live in certain parts of the country, it's muted in the city. You don't see it in the city. Right. You know? I mean, I remember as a kid, growing up in Chicago, see, they had this newspaper. And there was a newspaper that was a Hearst paper. And they used to have this. It was the Chicago version of the New York Times magazine section, and they used to have these fantastically wild, gory stories in it, like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle will one day contact the other world, and they had this big story, and there'd be a drawing of Conan Doyle. You remember him? He wrote the Sherlock Holmes stories, and he was always going to come back from the other world and contact his friends. They were going to meet on this bridge. I don't know whatever happened to that. I don't think he ever showed up. But, he probably got sulky up there, or maybe, you know, he got involved in all that orgies and stuff they're having up there, so he didn't have time for his old buddies. So, nevertheless, those stories, you know, used to really impress me. Wow. And then there was another story I remember that really got me as a kid. It showed a guy driving a car, and it was a real, you know, one of these sensational type drawings, you know, all kinds of, it was dark and black and shadows and all this. This guy's drawing a car. It says, man in Ohio struck by meteor. It says, you too can be struck by a meteor. Thousands of meteors are striking the Earth's atmosphere every second. Man is in imminent danger of being hit by a meteor. Well, all right, as a kid, you know, I read this. See, that's the trouble with literacy. Now, most kids today would not be able to read that. See, remember, I didn't do... No, they wouldn't. No. Judging from the most recent statistics, they can't even read a job application that says things like address.
What's that mean? It's got two D's in it, aren't MDs?
Yes, I mean, you've been reading this stuff. So, but I could read, you see. I must admit, I swear and admit guilt. I was reading at the age of five, before I even went to school. I learned to read at home, see? So here I am, I'm reading this stuff, and it says, man struck by meteor in Euclid, Ohio. Thousands of meteors are hitting Earth's atmosphere at any given moment. You are in imminent danger. Mankind can be destroyed. Then they then they always talk about a myth, you see. It was, according to a legend, a giant meteor hit the Earth somewhere in Siberia, and millions of square miles were leveled, and this could happen at any time, and hit Hammond, Indiana. Boom! Gone! And they had this comic strip. You remember Flash Gordon? Well, you don't remember Flash. You remember Flash, don't you? Flash Gordon? Not Superman. Flash Gordon. Well, you know the whole premise of Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon was summoned to save the Earth. That's how Flash Gordon started, because the lost planet of Mongo had gotten out of its orbit due to being hit by a meteor, and it was now approaching Earth and was about to destroy Earth. Okay, that was the basic plot of Flash Gordon, and it took off from there. Well, you know, you believe in comic strips when you're a kid, you know? You really do. I mean, there are kids who actually believe Snoopy exists. And so there I was, you know, the planet Mongo was approaching the Earth. And not only that, but this paper in Chicago said that a man had been hit by a meteor in Euclid, Ohio. And we once went through Euclid, Ohio on our vacation. I knew there was a Euclid, Ohio, you know? And millions of meteors are striking the Earth at any given time. Well, I you know, as a kid, you see, you can go one way or the other when you're a kid. And so there I am sitting at the kitchen table. You know, I'm really scared. I read about this meteor is going to hit me. You know, I look out there waiting for the meteor to come out, you know, go through the garage, maybe hit Schwartz, and, you know, boom, gone. So then they laid another one on me. There was another cartoon strip, another cartoon character who showed up, and he walked around in the comic strip wearing a coal scuttle on his head. A coal scuttle. You don't know what a coal scuttle is, so I'll have to explain that to you. No, it's not a shovel. A coal scuttle is a scuttle in which you put coal, and it's like a pot. And he had this coal scuttle on his head. You couldn't see his eyes. He went all the way down his shoulders. And when he was asked, this other cartoon strip character asked him, why do you wear a coal scuttle? And he said, because you never know when you're going to get hit by a meteor. That is true, I said. Absolutely, I agree. You never know. You could be sitting down here at the chock full of nuts, and a meteor comes right through the window, gone. Like that. You better get in touch with Gene Dixon. That's all I can say to you. You better get in touch, you know. You're sitting out there laughing. Don't be so smart. I mean, them UFOs are sending their meteors down. And you know why they're doing that? That's because they know that man is about to destroy himself. And the UFOs are out there, and they're bringing civilization to man, and they're waiting for the right time. And they will reveal it to the right guy. And who is the right guy? Well, he's a guy that works in the clothesline factory. And they keep contacting him. You know, the true believers are always being contacted. It's never anybody that can read. So, nevertheless, the problem, you know, it gets very complicated. And so there I am. I'm a kid, see. And I'm worrying about this coal scuttle bit. And I'm really seriously thinking of going down in the basement, you know, and hiding in a coal bin because I'm going to get hit by a meteor. Well, I'm sitting up there one day having supper, you know, and kids worry by themselves. They don't talk about it. I bet you don't remember when you were a kid worrying about stuff, you know, you didn't want to talk about. You just worried. So I'm sitting there worrying. I'm sitting there, you know, it's gone on for about 3 or 4 days, I'm worrying. And Schwartz was worried, too, because, you know, I told Schwartz about this. He hadn't even thought about meteors. In fact, he didn't even know what a meteor was. I told him what a meteor was. It comes out of the sky. It's like a star. Killed a guy in Euclid, Ohio. Schwartz almost passed out. I mean, you know, he never thought something was going to come out of the sky and hit him. And so the two of us were worrying, and we kept talking about it. We'd hide under the porch, talk about we were going to wait under there. We were about, what, six or something like that? So, you know, you can go either one way or the other. So you can become a lifelong meteor fearer and a believer in Gene Dixon if you make the wrong step at five, or somebody in your family does. So I'm sitting there, see, I'm worried. My mother kept saying, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you eating? I'm hungry. Because, you know, when you worry, you really get hungry, you know, and you can't eat and you're scared. And finally, my old man says, now look, if you're just going to have to cut it out. He says, now, you haven't eaten in 2 days. You're going to start eating, and I'm going to find out why. Now, what's the trouble? He said, you tell me what the trouble is. Well, I'm scared. I said, what are you afraid of? What are you scared of? Is Flickman hitting you? I said, no. I said, what are you scared of? Meteors. What? Meteors are going to come and kill the guy in Euclid, Ohio. It was in the paper. You never know when you're going to hit by a meteor. The old man started to laugh. He laughed so hard, it was the only time I ever saw him knock over his bottle of beer right there at supper table. He's flipping. The kids are scared. Me. Oh, God. Oh, wow. And he's flipping and rolling around. Wait till I tell Sherby. The kids are scared. Oh, he's flipping. My mother starts to laugh. I'm sitting there. It was a turning point in my life. I realized how stupid it was. Yes, other more sensitive kids would have cried and gone to bed and hid, and 5 years later they would have been an analyst. But those are kids that live in New York who go to analysts anyway. But at that point I realized it is stupid. And so since that time I have... And you know, you can't argue with people who believe this stuff. No way. No way. They're out there. They're out there. There's two things that you always get letters about. If you even mention the subject. If you mention UFOs, instantly, 15,000 people write to you and say, well, anybody knows the Air Force is covering up, blah, blah, blah. And you get that. And there's another thing. You wouldn't believe what the other subject is. All you have to do is mention trains in any context, and you get 5,000 letters from train freaks. They all think you're a train freak just because you mentioned trains. They must be lonely people sitting out there dreaming of the Louisville and National and the Rock Island Road. Look out for them meteors. You never know. And by the way, watch out for the electricity that comes out of the radio. It's coming our way. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, turns your brain to mush. Now you wonder why that sloshing sound in your head, right?